Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the Women Offshore Podcast. This is Ali Cedeno.
And Christine McMillan.
We are both experienced seafarers.
And at Women Offshore, we are making waves.
The Women Offshore Foundation propels Women Plus into meaningful careers through access to a worldwide community and professional development resources, while raising awareness amongst industry leaders and decision makers about issues affecting women on the water. This podcast is an integral part of our mission, and we appreciate you listening in.
New episodes of the Women Offshore Podcast are available every Tuesday. Subscribe on whatever platform you like to listen to podcasts on, and be in the know about the latest topics related to diversity, equity, and inclusion within the maritime and offshore industries.
Thanks for tuning in. We have another great episode for you today.
On today's episode, I'm joined by Eva again. I've had her on the podcast before, and we just barely started talking about psychological safety. And so I brought her back on to get a better understanding of what it means to be in a psychologically safe environment. So psychological safety is the belief that you won't be punished or humiliated for speaking up with ideas, questions, concerns, or when you make a mistake. At work, it's a shared expectation held by members of the team that teammates will not be embarrassed or will not embarrass you or be rejected or punish them for sharing ideas or taking risk or soliciting feedback. And when we talk about feeling safe, we're not talking about our physical safety in this podcast. We're talking about the ability to speak our mind or to say something and be validated and not be made fun of. And so there have been situations where I've removed myself from that environment because I didn't feel like I could be myself. Eva and I take a deep dive into our conversation today of what it means to feel and be psychologically safe. And we paint a picture of what we envision a community that has psychological safety to look like. Hi, Eva, and welcome to the Women Offshore Podcast.
Hi, thank you very much for having me. It's so nice to be on your podcast. Thank you so much.
Welcome back. You were here maybe about a year ago, and I really enjoyed our conversation that we had then about, we just barely touched on psychological safety. And so I really want to take a deeper dive into that today with you. And so can you, first of all, let's introduce yourself again for those listeners that don't know who you are and give us a little background.
Yeah, so hi, I'm Eva Lianne Veldkamp. I live in the Netherlands and I started my career at sea. So I was a maritime officer for Maersk. So that's both in the engine room and on deck. And then after I stopped sailing because I got kids, and then I had so much different maritime jobs, which were amazing. And I still love this sector deeply, you know, and I'm happy to have a new job where I can also visit ships again, which is super, super nice. And the topic I'm most passionate about, I think, is safety, and not the boring kind of, you know, wearing a helmet safety, especially, but, you know, everything that has to do with social things and psychological, mental things that you cannot see, they really interest me. So I'm happy, very happy to talk about that with you today.
Good, good. And so, yeah, like I said, last year, we kind of just barely scratched the surface. And so I want to know how your first, let's define it, and then tell me if your definition of psychological safety has evolved over the time.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because I think when we talk about psychological safety, most people use the definitions made by Amy Edmondson, who wrote this great, great book about psychological safety, especially about the workplaces and leadership. So if you want to dive into that, I can certainly definitely recommend it. Okay. And I think if I have to describe it really quickly, it's about the ability to be your authentic self without any consequences to that. And it sounds really easy, but it's in a way also very difficult because it's such a dynamic process to feel safe, you know, a certain in yourself and in groups and in the, even in the environment you are in. because it can change very quickly. Also, it has a lot to do with your nervous system. So your question about how it evolved, for me, it was when I was diving a little bit deeper into what your nervous system actually is. You know, it's inside your body, you have it your entire life, but what does it actually do and how does it influence your behavior? Uh-huh. When I, you know, researched and discovered a little bit more about this, then also psychological safety got a whole different, you know, world opened up about safety and feeling safe and being safe. And I think it changed a little bit into more social kind of safety then.
Okay. So I think that I understand it on the base level, but I have an example that I'd like to pitch to you and see if you can help me understand this. So I have a 6-year-old daughter and she is really concerned about how she fits into the community and with her friends. And every time I bring it up, she almost physically gets ill thinking about it. And so her little nervous system is ramped up so much that she can't figure out her psychological safety within her friends group. Is that kind of an accurate understanding? Can you help me understand it a little bit better so I can help my daughter?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, it's first of all, you know, I'm not, I'm also learning. I think it's good to all keep learning about this and talk about your experience. So thank you for sharing this about your daughter, because it's such a good example, you know, what you experience sometimes, or what you see your kids experience sometimes. And then you can just stay curious as to what's happening. You know, it's so interesting because I can see this, I have the solution, but clearly it doesn't work, or, you know, I need something else, but what is it? And then you can just try out. And that's the amazing thing about life in general. I think that you can just try out things and then you can definitely know if they work and feel good, you can do it again, you know?
Yes.
But yeah. In this case, I think with kids, you see it very well, because I think looking at my kids as well, when they were born and when they were little, they're so authentic, you right. know, they're just them. They're really pure, authentically themselves. And then when the social things come in, you know, the social structures and the social behavior come in, something happens. Right. This is so interesting to observe.
It is.
And so maybe, and I'm not a psychologist or anything, but, you know, maybe, you know, what's scary about connecting to other people in general, so maybe for you and me, it is what you experience sometimes, that if you connect to other people, you want to fit in, right? You want them to like you, and also you would like to like them.
Right.
And then while in this process, you lose certain parts of yourself sometimes, because making this connection requires sometimes something from yourself. And then, so it also depends what kind of person you are. If you, for example, if you're a people pleaser, mm-hmm. like I am, I would be happy to give everything I have just to please other people and make them feel good. But then you cannot give everything you have sometimes. You have to also please yourself to, you know, maintain something for yourself, which you need, you know. And so if you don't learn how to do this in a healthy way, you will have the feeling that you disappear sometimes, or that you cannot exist anymore. And then you're in this group of people and then you don't know who you are. You don't know what to do. And you're so anxious. And then so... yeah, it can be a lot of different things, but that's the first thing that comes to mind a little bit, because I think it's just to observe and see what helps is the best advice that you can ever give and have, right? Just
yeah. And so then when we're talking about social structures and fitting in, and then we take it into the maritime industry and we talk about trying to fit in on a ship and feel safe and understood and appreciated in a micro community where you have this escalated time frame of getting to know people, it's so interesting and difficult.
Yes, it definitely is. And whenever I talk to people outside of the maritime sector, you can sometimes discover how special this area is, because it's so dynamic. It has a lot of times a very big variety of people and cultures and religions and all kinds of people, you know, can work on ships. And also, like you said, it has a very clear boundary as to when you sign on and when you sign off. And also it has a lot of rules and structures you should do. So, and I think for a lot of person, including me, it was really nice to have all these structures and to follow, because then you know what is expected. You can just play within that, or, you know, do your work within that. I mean, but with playing, I mean, just to, you know, let it go a little bit, because you have all the structures going on. So you can just relax a little bit. And then, so for me, it was really nice to work on ships, because you know what is expected from you, and you can just do that, and then you can do your work, and then you can just interact with your colleagues, and then it's nice. So for me, it was really, really nice. And but when I look now to experience of other people as well, I'm sometimes a little bit surprised as to, because I got a really good experience in general on board of ships. I was, and whenever I was bullied or you know, somebody made some real nasty remarks in general, I had support from people around me, like the allyship thing. So I had people standing up for me and saying, okay, this is not, you should not accept this, or telling to the people who make the nasty remarks, oh, please shut up about this, because if you cannot say anything nice, then please keep your mouth shut like this. Yeah, but my biggest wish is that more ships can be this safe for people, because, you know, we really need it. Because also I think in general we tend to underestimate a little bit what this closed environment also can do. So it can be a safe space in all aspects. It's perfect to be a safe space because you have everything in place, but it can be the whole different side of the metal as well. And then it's super nasty.
So can we talk about some of the changes or improvements that you've seen come out within the last year, and places that we still need to have progress made?
Yeah, so about the progress, I think it's very nice to refer to an IMO meeting that was happening at the beginning of February. So the International Maritime Organization, who develops international policies such as the SSCW. So that's those are the standards for training, watchkeeping, and certification for all seafarers. Mandatory training. They had a subcommittee talking about this, and I was one of the persons who initiated these discussions within the IMO amongst all the member states and all organizations. Just please, can we talk about psychological safety and how it is a root cause for sexual assault, harassment, bullying, abuse taking place in the maritime sector? And so first of all, the outcome of next week or of last week was really, I think, very encouraging and positive, because now it was on the agenda and it's taken further, and it is going to be part of the comprehensive review of the entire SSCW. So psychological safety, addressing bullying and SESH, and also mental health is going to be part of the review of all mandatory training required for all seafarers. So that is very encouraging, because that means that we can work on healing the root cause of these nasty problems. And using education for it, I think, is very, 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 you know, good idea. Because then if you educate people, it's also not about guilt, right? It's just, okay, so this is what's happening. This is what we should do to, you know, make sure everybody's safe. Same like firefighting. So first of all, that's really encouraging, right?
Yeah, that is awesome. And I'm glad that it's been talked about and pushed through and not just swept under the rug and considered unimportant. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what I also wanted to say, but I don't like to be a negative person or something, but it was quite, well, let's call it interesting, but also alarming to see that still there are a lot of people who don't recognize this problem to be a problem. And I think that's part of the whole problem, that you don't recognize what actually is going on. Right. So certain behaviors or certain structures is just so deeply normalized within our society and within our working environments, and everybody knows, you know, everybody agrees that you cannot abuse another person or bully another person. Everybody knows this and understand this, but when it comes to the actions or to the things you see in reality, well, something happens, you know, like people are suddenly not so aware anymore, or they say, no, but I didn't mean to, or you know, some weird things going on.
Yeah. So is there a way that we can improve our psychological safety within our networks and within our society? I mean, is it something that we can do to improve it, or is it either there or not?
No, yeah, definitely. You can always work on improving it because it's, like I said, it's a dynamic process.
Okay.
So you will never ever have a perfect world where everything is perfect. It's always a balance. So yeah, it's always a dynamic process. So it requires your constant attention. And I think there's three things you can work on. You can work on yourself. You can work on your relationships, so yourself in interaction with other people, and you can work on, you know, your presence in your environment. So, you know, on a macro level, seeing yourself in this world. And I think so it starts with awareness. So if you're curious about what this topic actually is, you can find something out about what it actually means, and then you can learn. So you will become aware and conscious. That was the word I was looking for. You can be conscious more, and then you can see how that looks for yourself. So you can do the self-reflection, or you can get help or perspectives from other people, like, oh, but what do you think about this, and how do you see me, and how do I see you? And you can just talk about it.
Yeah.
And then you can evolve it a little bit. And yeah, so definitely you can do something about it. And then what I learned myself, or what I discovered, is that while you are doing it, you can also notice sometimes, oh, well, this event is not really psychologically safe right now. And this event feels really psychologically safe right now. And then you can just observe what's going on, and you can notice the difference sometimes. And it makes it even nicer, because then you can discover even more about, hey, why is this, and why does it feel so bad, or why does it feel so good? And then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that I have a couple other examples of, like, I can walk into a situation where I don't want to be there. You know, I can feel that it doesn't feel good for me to be hanging out with these people or be there at that time. And so when I remove myself from that situation, then everyone goes, well, where did Christine go? Why is she acting this way? And I don't have a good reason, you know, and I can't always verbalize that, like, I just don't feel good. I don't want to be there. And then they're like, well, what's wrong? Are you sick? You know, and they don't understand. And so how do you have that conversation with people of, like, I don't feel safe. I don't feel supported or protected or valued, or what words do you use, or how do you have that conversation with people? Have you ever had to? What does that look like?
Well, I think what's the most important thing here is to recognize that there's a lot of guilt and shame.
You know, yeah.
This whole topic. So you're saying this to yourself, and also other people think maybe, oh, did I do something wrong? Or, ooh. So there's a lot of guilt and shame surrounding this very topic of safety, and especially, you know, the safety that you cannot see, like a psychological and social safety, is surrounded by guilt and shame.
Wow.
And vulnerability, yeah. Right? In general, vulnerability. So I think what I discovered is that when you want to take that away, it's really helpful to talk about your body. So your nervous system is part of your body. And when you don't feel safe, you just have a red flag flying. You know, your nervous system does that. It's a reaction from your body.
Yeah.
So it's not about you, like, it's not that you are making yourself with the red flag or something. It just happens. You cannot control it. It's like a reflex. So when you recognize this for yourself, you can already feel less guilty, or be less ashamed of what's actually happening. So I wanted to really be here, and now I feel like this, now I have to go away. But if you can recognize, oh, but it's just my nervous system going, you know, waving all these alarm things.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, if I want to feel better, probably I have to go to little bit quieter space, and then I can do some breathing exercises, or I can regulate my own body, or I can co-regulate. Maybe it's good to talk about with somebody who makes me feel calm. Maybe I can get a hug from somebody, maybe even, you know, just to make myself feel safer. And then just breathe. Then you can already feel better. But that's all about recognizing that you have a body and that you have a nervous system who can actually help you. And then also, you don't have to tell people that you are sick, but just that something is happening with you, and you know, you don't feel comfortable or safe in the space, and you just need something to you know, feel better. I think those are, I'm also searching for the words a little bit still.
Yeah.
But so if anybody has some suggestions, then I'm open to listen always. And I think it's good to talk about this in general, because sometimes you hear somebody else tell you something, right, that really resonates with exactly what you were intending to say. So,
yeah. So what if we flip the script and let's say that you and I you're the captain and I'm your chief mate on a ship, and we're out at sea together, and we have a brand new third mate that comes on board, and we can tell that something's just not quite right. And so how do we broach that subject? How do we say, you're safe here? We're here to support you and protect you. We want to make sure that you feel like you're a part of our team. And so what does that conversation look like?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I think in general it's best to just, but also maybe that's because I'm Dutch, it's always good to communicate directly.
Yeah.
So if you feel something that needs to be said, then just say it. And of course you need to be mindful of the other person, but you can just say what you want to say, right? And so especially when it's about when you worry about somebody, you can just tell them, please, you know, feel welcome on board. If there's anything, you know, you want to talk about, you're always welcome to knock on my door or knock on this door of the other person. You can also, you know, explain a little bit about how the safety system works. So you can also talk to the DPA, or you can talk to the special person from the company for this, or you can just tell people to make them feel safe. And I think in general, this really works, right? Especially when you notice something. It can also be helpful for the other person to know that they are somehow sending the signal. But maybe this signal is not what they intended to, so they can also speak about that. Yeah, so I think in general it's good to communicate with each other and to be allies together, no matter of the rank, by the way, because it goes about being human, right? So just from human to human. But then while I'm saying this, also comes to mind that, but it's not necessarily for on board, by the way, or in the workplace, but sometimes you also want to help somebody, but really bad. But this person maybe is not aware of the, you know, the behaviors they have or the thing that they need help with. They're not aware about it, of this. Mm-hmm. So then, and I listened to something this week about people receiving help, and it was explained like some people just need to experience life. So life will teach them what they need to learn. Mm. The only thing you can do is be present, you know, stay around, stick around with them. And then when they need help, they can ask you. So yeah, that was really helpful advice, I think.
Right. So. Yeah. Because sometimes we think that we're being helpful, but really life just has to be the teacher and the helper. And we just have to be there.
Yeah, but that can be painful, because sometimes you can just see things happening to somebody and you really don't want it for them. And then you want to help, but helping sometimes means just waiting for somebody to ask you something, right? So,
So let's talk about an idealistic world, and what's your vision for a safe workplace? Can you paint us a picture of that?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I like it a lot. So, because I like to dream in general. But so first of all, I think we should be more connected to what surrounds us in general. So not to be hyper-focused on one thing, but to be a little bit more open to what's surrounding us, you know, the environment we live in, the air we breathe, you know, the place we are in, the people who join us, you know, the things, the structures we connect to. In general, I think that would be so great if we can do that, because then it will allow us to be more dynamic into the adaptation sometimes we need to remain safe, right?
Right.
Maybe I don't explain it so well, but in general, I think it would be nice not to have like, because what you see now is that you get more policy and more strict rules and regulations and boxes to fit in. And then if you are inside this box, you are safe, or, you know, just the control gets so big. And it would be nice in the future if you can just let that go a little bit, you know, create some space and some air for things to happen, and then still trust on the good outcome of it. So you have to, yeah, so that's it. It's a trust-based environment where you just trust the other person or your environment or whatever you're working in to be safe enough for you. And also you can trust yourself to speak up if it's not safe, or if you feel something, or if you see something from somebody else. And then to, you know, not, yeah, also, so it's about prevention. So this trust then prevents something from getting really big and too out of control, so that it will become hurtful. So hopefully, you know, that trust-based safety environment will then keep everybody as safe as possible. I think that will be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what we all strive for, is to feel trusted and to be in trusting relationships with our partner and with our family and our community, where, you know, we can rely on each other and we know that nobody's attempting to hurt us. And so that I love that image, and I'm going to carry that with me. So I have two more questions. Can you tell me the name of the book that you mentioned earlier and the author?
Yes, it's The Fearless Organization by Amy Edmondson.
Okay.
It's
And so I'd love to read that. And I want to make sure that we mentioned it, and that if other people want to read that, that they can learn more about this topic. And then the last question I have for you today, I mean, I have so many, but I feel like I have to get to an ending point eventually with you. What advice do you have for the Women Offshore community today?
Yeah, I think the best advice is to always stay open and curious, and because also, you know, it will allow you to discover things that you don't know yet. So it will give you new adventures and new connections, and it will allow you to discover new people and new topics you can dive into and new knowledge. And yeah, so being open and curious, I think, is the end. But that brings vulnerability, right? So you have to be brave enough to be vulnerable. So yeah, so then you also have to learn to protect yourself a little bit, have boundaries, have healthy thing, go know what you need, and also speak up for your needs. Yeah, but to be open and curious will be the best advice for people who are listening today. And thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah, I love that advice. And it sounds like that has come from quite a few years of experience. And so thank you. You're not old. I'm not calling you old, but I'm calling you very wise. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I am old. You know, I'm proud to be older. Finally, you know. Thank you so much for today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Women Offshore podcast.
Come back next Tuesday for another new episode.
If you want to propel women offshore forward, visit womenoffshore.shop. Make a donation or purchase some swag.
Until next time,
stay safe out there, and we will talk to you soon.